Good evening, everyone. If we could start off by reading Psalm 51. Psalm 51 should have been our first reading. God willing, our message will be taken from Psalm 32. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hinder parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me in a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen. And if we turn to Psalm 32, and I'll just pray a short prayer, and God willing, we will look into this psalm. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O Lord, that the entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. And Lord God, we would ask that thou would open the gates of heaven and bless our message this evening. We do pray, O Lord God, that thou would teach us through thy spirit, and that, O Lord, we would know what it is to have a tender conscience, a repentant heart that comes to thee looking only to thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord God, we would pray that we would decrease and that Christ may increase. Help us, O Lord, that we will come away, O Lord, seeking to draw near to thee in a pure heart. Lord, we ask this in the name of our Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So for Psalm 32 that Pastor Mark kindly read for us. God willing, we'll be looking into this psalm today. Now, this psalm is known as one of the seven penitential psalms, and that means one of the seven repentant psalms or psalms of confessions, along with Psalm 6, this Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51 that we've just read, Psalm 102, 130, and 143. And really, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 comes as a pair. In fact, one person says that both psalms are finely tuned together. And the reason being is in Psalm 51, we read about David's confession of sin, where David was pouring out his heart to God in confession and in repentance. Why? Because of a heinous sin that he had done before the Lord. And so David poured out his soul before God, and David confessed his sin. And so Psalm 32 is God's response to David. David now has confessed his sin to the Lord, and David has been forgiven. And David has now joy returned to his soul. And so Psalm 32 actually comes after Psalm 51. And so this is David's response. Now David is restored. Now David is forgiven. And this was his response in this psalm. And at the heading of my Bible here, it says, a psalm of David, a masculine. That is a psalm of understanding, a psalm of instruction. That is, there is for us in this psalm a teaching about confession of sins, the consequences of not confessing our sins to the Lord, but also the results when we humble ourselves and we confess our sin to the Lord. So what's the background to this psalm? Well, it's the same background to Psalm 51. If you recall in 2 Samuel chapter 12, in the year when kings went out to battle, David hung around in the palace and he sent his commander Joab to battle. And David was walking on the roof of the king's palace and he saw a woman, a beautiful woman, naked and bathing. And David asked for her and he committed adultery, and that was another man's wife. And not only that, if you remember, David then planned to kill this woman's husband. And so what did David do? He instigated a plan that this man should be in the hottest part of the battle so that he'll be more likely to be struck down. And that was what happened to Uriah, Bathsheba's wife. And so Nathan, the prophet of God at the time, went and confronted David of his sin, of what he had done. David beforehand had leave of confession. David had refused to go to the Lord. David was living in a state of unrepentance. And so until David was confronted of his sin, that's when David confessed his sin to the Lord. And this was David's response. And in verse 1, David launched out in this psalm almost with joy, with delight, with relief, when he writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What a contrast to Psalm 51, where David started the psalm in a very humble and a very sober manner. But in this psalm, David has vitality to his soul. And really, in the original, this first verse reads, blessed, transgression, forgiven, sin, covered. Blessed, transgression, forgiven, sin, covered. David uses those three words to describe his sin. The first here we see is transgression. Transgression is a breach of trust. God has given his law to man, and man had broken his law. Then it's sin. Sin is to go and to miss the mark is to offend. And then he uses the word iniquity, which carry the idea of something heinous, something morally that is so sinful before God. And in David's sin here, he had lusted, he had committed adultery, and he had committed murder. And so David confessed this triad of sins, transgression, sin, and iniquity, which we also see in verse 5 when he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee and my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And that's how David described his sins. And notice, friends, David did not say his mistakes. As so often when today some try to present the gospel and to when they try to confront men and women, boys and girls of their sin, but not to try to hurt their conscience so much. They use the word, we've all made mistakes. But the biblical language here is transgression, sin, iniquity. And the first step for us to recognize the grace and the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we must come clean about our sin and not make excuses for it and say, we've made mistakes. No, friend, it is a sin, it is transgression, and it is iniquity. In verse 2, David goes on, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, we'll come back to this verse, and Lord willing, we'll look, well, what is David saying here? How was his sin not imputed to him? How can he say that there is no guile in his spirit? God willing, we'll come back to this and we'll see how was this made possible. But let's look at verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When I kept silence, David kept silent about his sin. David thought he could hide his sin from God. And in fact, when we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read that it was not only till Bathsheba gave birth to the child that David actually acknowledged his sin before God, which means that it took at least 9 months where David was in a state of unrepentance, at least 9 months where David did not confess his sin to the Lord. And so David now is describing what happened to him, not just in his spirit, in his soul, but also in his flesh. When I kept silent, when I refused to confess my sins, when I refused to acknowledge my sins, when I refused to come before God and come clean, he says, my bones waxed old. Life, he's saying, had gone out of him. He says, my vitality has been turned into the drought of summer. There was no life in him anymore. He's saying he begins to wear out and to decay. There was no joy in his bones anymore. He was being consumed inwardly in his soul. And also he was saying in his flesh. Why? Because verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. David was saying that his sin was always present before him. There was a constant reminder of his sins. He could not get away from it. He might have covered up his sin, but he could not get away that he had sinned against a holy God. And so this sin that he had committed only really left an unpleasant taste in his soul. Yes, outwardly, David might have been going around the land, maybe smiling and happy and eating and drinking and dancing. But inwardly, David was not at peace with God. Inwardly, his conscience was troubling him. His conscience was pounding at him. There was no life in him. Why? Because he refused to confess his sin. Now, after going so many months and refusing to confess his sin, God was gracious to David. And when Nathan the prophet came and confronted him, David instantly got down on his knees and he said, "I have sinned against God." When Nathan said, "Thou art the man, thou art the man that have done these wicked things," David got down on his knees. He had had enough of this pain, of this suffering, of this judgment, as it were, on his flesh and on his soul. In verse 5, David said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." He gave up. He could not take it any longer. And it was really the grace of God that Nathan came to him and confronted him about his sin. And it's the same with us when we get confronted about our sin, maybe through another brother or sister. And hopefully they do that in love. But when that's revealed in us and then we start getting convicted, Lord willing, our response should be like David. And we acknowledge our sin. Or perhaps when we're reading the word of God or through the preaching of the word, the Lord speaks to us and convicts us about a certain sin. And may we then confess our transgressions to him. So David said he could no longer conceal, he could no longer hide his sin. And he said, "I will confess." That is, I will declare my sin. I will cast off my transgressions unto the Lord. That weight of sin on him, he said he will cast it upon the Lord. He would confess. He would throw it to the Lord. And the result, "And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin," which really means God lifted up that burden. David prayed, "Lord, forgive me my sin. This weight of sin is heavy upon me." And the Lord lifted up that burden away from him so that he was free in his soul. And so we have some lessons for us just in these first five verses of Psalm 32. And you as a believer, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been redeemed by his Spirit, and you've come to the knowledge of the truth, and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and amen, all our sins, past, present, and future, are dealt with on the cross. Hebrews 7:25 said he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. And Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not lose any of them." Philippians 1, "He who began this good work in you will bring that to completion." And as we look forward to that day where we would be with the Lord Jesus Christ, where there'll be no more sin, no more temptation, we would have a new body. Until then, we would continue to battle sin. Until then, we will continue to mortify sin. And you as a believer, perhaps this might be your experience as well, like David. Maybe when you're falling into sin, maybe into a certain sin, and you think to yourself, I can't go back to the Lord now. How many times, Lord, have I done this? And you refuse to confess your sin. Or perhaps the devil tells you lies that God can't forgive you anymore. Or perhaps the devil takes you down memory lane of your past sins for before you were redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you refuse to go to the Lord. And what do? Well, you just pile on more and more sins. And then what happens? There is no sweetness in your private communion with the Lord. There's no life in you. When you come into the house of the Lord, perhaps, and you hear the word of God preach, you sing the Psalms, there is no joy, but it's just coldness in your heart because of a refusal to confess your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoever forsakes them shall find mercy. John Owen said, every unmortified sin will certainly do two things. One, it will weaken the soul and deprive it of its vigor. And two, it will darken the soul and deprive it of its comfort and peace. And so there's no use, friend, hiding our sins from the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on everywhere, keeping watch over the good and the evil. David himself knows that God is sovereign and that God sees everything. Remember Psalm 139, he says, whither can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me. So it is futile, friends, that we could hide our sins from the Lord. Rather, we go to him. We go to him and we confess our sins to him. And so you may ask, well, who do we confess our sins to? Well, who have we sinned against? In Psalm 51, verse 4, David says, thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We don't go to a priest. We go to God alone. We go to the one who created us. We go to the one whom we have sinned against. And so going back to verse 2, well, how are we forgiven? And how was David forgiven? David said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. What confidence do we have that when we go to the Lord and when we confess our sins, that we can be assured that we are forgiven, that we have been set free from them? Well, Pastor Mark helpfully read Romans chapter 4 during the service for us. And if we look at that passage again of Romans chapter 4, from verse 1, And so David here says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. And so we as believers, when we come before the Lord, what confidence have we that our sin is not imputed to us? Well, Paul writes from verse 1, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to whom that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to whom that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the godly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then Paul goes on to quote some verses from Psalm 32, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Well, we come by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we come knowing that all our sins are forgiven, that when I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, the faith which was a gift from him, that I was justified, that I was declared not guilty. However, when I sin as a believer, it's still a duty that I go before God and confess my sins. In the Lord's Prayer, our Lord teaches us that we should confess our transgressions, as we also forgive those who have transgressed against us. 1 John 1:9, as we read earlier, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. God took your sin, took your iniquity, took your transgressions, and placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he bore that punishment for you. And God gave you, the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness, so that when he looks upon you, he doesn't see a sinner that's deserving of damnation, but rather he sees Christ in you. He sees righteous Mark. He sees righteous Jonathan and whoever else here believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that sin is not imputed to you any longer because it's been dealt with in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why David can say here, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. And all David had to do, because there's nothing else he can do to remove his sin, was by faith and faith alone, confess his sin and trust that his sins has been dealt with. And it's the same for us, that when we come to God and we confess our sins, we trust that he has forgiven us. We don't wait for a feeling to feel something. Lord, do I feel forgiven? No, it is by faith alone. But when we confess, we trust that as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. In verse 6 of Psalm 32, David goes on, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. So what David is saying, that even though we have been saved, even though we are redeemed, even though our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we don't leave off confessing our sins, that we don't leave off repenting. You know, we don't say, well, I repented in 1999. I've done that once. No, we keep on confessing. We keep on repenting. Not that we keep on becoming Christians and becoming Christians. No, we're saved once and for all. But we keep on repenting. And those who are godly, that is those who are believers, will pray to the Lord in a time when he may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Which reminds us of Noah and the ark. And God instructed Noah on how to build the ark. And Noah built the ark, and Noah and his family members were in the ark. And for many years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, was preaching that judgment is coming. And Noah was ridiculed. He was mocked. And what happened? And that day came, when the flood came, and everything, every creature, man, beast, the creatures under the sea, all perished. It was too late. And no doubt, I'm sure there would have been some hitting on the wood of that ark, begging to be let in, but it was too late. It was too late. But those who are godly, those who know the Lord, will come to him at a time when he may be found. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture exhorts you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And in verse 7, we see the result of confessing your sin, knowing you're forgiven of the Lord, and this is the result. Thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. God will be a guide to David. Guidance. And we know that he is our refuge. It's to him we go to. It's to him we look to. And he will keep us from trouble when we look to him, when we call upon his name during times of temptations. We just pray to the Lord. We don't have to even wait till when we get home to seek him and to ask for strength. You may well be in the quietness of your heart. You may be walking on the street. You may be on the bus. You may be at work. And in the quietness of your heart, you can pray to the Lord and you can ask him to give you strength. And the Bible says that God will not let you to be tempted beyond what you are able to handle. And so the result of confession of sins and receiving that forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ is that you will abound with thanksgiving. And we can sing the songs of deliverance. We can sing that we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know that joy of salvation. In Psalm 51, David says, "Restore me unto the joy of your salvation." And that's what we pray for. And that's what will happen when we sincerely go to the Lord and confess our sins. And then from verse 8, we see some think that this is David now giving instruction. David, now that he has fallen into sin, he has confessed his sin and he has been restored. Now David wants to share that wisdom with those who perhaps are going astray. Or perhaps, and more likely, I believe that this is God himself now speaking to David. David had confessed his sin. David had been forgiven. And now the Lord had some words of wisdom for David to keep him from trouble. And he says in verse 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye." So God is saying to David, look to me and I will guide you. Psalm 25 verse 8 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I will instruct thee and teach thee." So now, when you've confessed your sins, when you've known you've been forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, what steps can you take to ensure that you keep yourself pure? What steps can we take? Well, we've been given the word of God as a means of grace. Verse 8, "I will instruct thee." We get instruction from the word of God. Psalm 119 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." There's a saying that goes, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And how else can God guide us? Well, through prayer. When we daily and regularly commune with God in prayer, prayer will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from prayer. And how else can the Lord guide us? Well, fellowship with God's people. Attending the Lord's table, coming into the house of the Lord, and communion with God's people. That will build us up in our faith, and that will strengthen us. And the Lord goes on to say, "Do not be stubborn," verse 9, "as the horse or as the mule, animals which have no understanding, which they must be held in with bit and bridle, or else they will not come near unto thee." Verse 10, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." Many sorrows shall be to the man who refuses to come to the Lord and confess his sins. That man surely will experience his bones waxing old. Many sorrows shall be to the one who refuses to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. There'll be no peace, there'll be no joy, and there'll be no vitality in their soul. But the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that trusts in the Lord, that looks to the Lord, they will be surrounded by mercy and they will know the grace and the forgiveness of the Lord. And so in verse 11, they can Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Why? Because they are righteous. Is it because of any of their own righteousness? No, because of the righteousness of Christ. And they can rejoice that they are upright in heart. Why? Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And God is gracious, friends. And God is plenteous in mercy. And God is willing to forgive us. You know, the gates of heaven are open. God is ready to forgive anyone who would come to him, ask him for forgiveness. And he will forgive. David was instantly forgiven when David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, you have been forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. When Uzziah, when he was in the presence of the Lord, and he cried out, woe is me, for I'm undone. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst people with unclean lips. What happened? One of the seraphim flew and said, your sins have been purged. God is quick to act and to forgive those who have felt their sin, those who have come to him, those who are seeking to be freed from their sin. He will forgive. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your communion with the Lord will be restored. There'll be sweetness when you read the word of God, when you pray. There'll be joy when you go out to witness for Christ. And there'll be that assurance that you are one of the Lord's people. God is good and God is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Amen.
Amen.
Our final praise is the last half of Psalm 32. The second half of Psalm 32, please.
That's gone wrong. I'm sorry. So sorry. I can do it that way.
It's fine. Thank you, brother. Please.
Six B.
Surely when God's of waters great to swell up to they shall not
To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.